Well, I think it's time we'll call the meeting to order. Once a year, maybe we should do it twice, we hold our meeting for parks, highways, facilities, and golf at the Pringle Nature Center. I believe the majority of you have been here. I heard somebody say they'd never been here. So, this is our nature center. It was the Pringle family farm, and was donated to the county, and took years and years to develop and to get this the nature center here, but now we have a nonprofit that runs the nature center park, and we have the hiking trails. We like to get everyone around, especially on the committee and the youth and governance here, to see what we've got as far as county parks. So, since we do not come here that often, I want to graciously thank the Pringle Nature Center staff for inviting us here again to hold our July meeting. John told me it's usually in July that we do this. Fairly new committee. I was gone last month, so I'm going to begin with some introductions then, and probably just go around the table here, and then ask the people for the Nature Center to maybe give us a few words. So, if we could just introduce ourselves.
I'm Carol O'Neill, County Purchasing Director.
I'm Dan Dryan, General Manager of Golf Operations.
I'm Bryce Brodsky.
Mike Spolinski, County Supervisor, District 19.
John Poole, County Supervisor, District 20.
Roy Federick, County Supervisor, District 14.
Dennis Alverman, County Board, District 23.
Bill Grady, County Board Supervisor, 1st District.
Wendy Ecken, Public Works Assistant.
Gary Sipsma, Kenosha County Highway.
Frank Martinelli, Engineering Project Manager for Facilities.
John Ruder, General Manager of Parks.
Jim?
Jim Cuffer, Finance for Public Works.
Are you folks, if you'd like to?
I'm Barry Thomas, the board chair here, and Kelly Mann is a naturalist. We have two of our board members here, the newest board member, Kira Tendino, and Al Summer is our secretary and invasive species specialist. That's lots of fun. Did you want us to get the report now or later?
Whenever you'd like.
Good. You probably read a lot of the stuff in the newspaper that's going on, and this lady is the one that's responsible for most of that.
Please say pretend to.
We do have a lot of volunteers that help us, but she's really the moving force behind this place, so I'll ask her to update you on some of the things that we've accomplished this year and a few of the upcoming things.
I think we've really accomplished, and we've really grown in the past year. We've gotten more visitors out here to the center. Thanks to Kenosha News getting more of our press releases out and covering more of our events. We've had past few of our major events have made the front page of the Kenosha News. Most recently, the camp out I did here a couple weeks ago, and it turned out to be one of our better attended camp outs for here. But as per usual, it always rains. It's always our luck on that day that it rains while we're camping. This winter, with how much snow we got a lot more people out here renting snowshoes. I changed how I promoted that a little bit because people thought that they could only rent them when I did a guided hike in the woods. So I started to send out press releases saying that people could come anytime to rent the snowshoes. So we saw a dramatic increase with people coming out here in the wintertime to rent the snowshoes. We're doing a lot more off-site programs as well. We're working to create more off-site programs during the winter months to take to the schools. We've got another school up for our Mighty Acorns program, which is the stewardship program where the kids get to visit a site 3 times during the year, where they work collecting prairie seeds in the fall, putting buckthorn and other invasives in the wintertime, and then in the springtime, pull garlic mustard. So we've got another school there with 3 more classrooms to help combat the aliens among us. We're also getting more school groups coming down from Racine And we did have a scout group from Oak Creek coming down, so we're kind of expanding our reach a little bit further into some of the other counties. And they're spreading the word about the programs we do here, because some of the programs, especially for homeschool and scouting, other nutrition and environmental education facilities in the area don't offer, and I do. So we're building there as well. We celebrated our 15-year anniversary this past year, so we had that as our main theme for a fall fun fest last year. As per usual, weather usually tends to keep people home, but once the weather got nice, we had a lot of people out for the festival. Since we are now Bird City, since John worked so hard getting the Bird City status, we partnered with Kenosha County and the City of Kenosha. We're going to have the festival up here, so it's going to make our festival bigger, hopefully, this year to draw more people out to the park. We had many Eagle Scouts complete their projects this past year. We've got a couple more coming up. So if you haven't been out on the trails and want to brave the mosquitoes after the meeting, we've got a set of teaching platforms just in the woods over by the pond. A little bit further back into the woods, we have an observation tower. Once you get above the mosquito line, you should be fine. We also have a mile-long orienteering course. So we have one of our school programs is Matthew's Orienteering. So we're going to create smaller little orienteering courses within there, and then have a mile-long for the scouts that determine that badge. And then we also have new trail posts in the ground, which once those things got installed, I've pretty much not heard anybody come back into the building saying, I've got lost out there. So it really helped on people not getting lost out there. So the current ones that we have coming up, you may have seen the caution tape down there. We've got an Eagle Scout working on a stage down at the bottom of the amphitheater, as well as another Eagle Scout working on putting in a boardwalk in some of the areas and trails that get flooded a little bit more often. As far as restoration, we got a grant to get a brush mower, so we've kind of been going in that area. We're going to wait for all the spring wildflowers to do their stuff before going in there and mowing. And we also burned the left half of our prairie last year, so we're hoping to do burn the other half this fall. So all in all, we're continuing to grow, and it feels good. So any questions for me?
Anybody have any questions for Valerie?
Thank you.
So, do you spray for any mosquitoes or anything like that right here?
Like the air bomb type stuff, or just personal body spray?
In general, for the area.
I don't believe we do. I just tell people when they come in here, either walk really fast or really load up on the bug spray. Because if you don't stop, they will come back.
Thank you.
Questions.
Thank you, Barry and Valerie. They also volunteered this year, or were out at our third ice fishing derby. First time, the only time we had a thaw this year, and out there with the snowshoes, and we had water. So, but we appreciate that effort. I think one of these years that's going to coordinate where we have snow and. And you guys are out there. But what we have here is a perfect partnership with the folks from the Nature Center, offering Kenosha County another venue. We have the ballparks, we have hiking trails, we have everything. And this is a unique situation here. That's why we like to bring everybody out here at least once a year, and also let new members see what we have to offer. Hiking tonight, you're on your own. But.
And speaking of other parks, I forgot though, we did two hikes for maple syrup this year over on Pets.
Yeah.
And we tapped 9 trees, and we got a lot of staff this year from all the trees. So that brought a lot of people to that park as well.
Yeah, and the paper has been covering all this very well. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much again for having us, and now I will go into our roll call, and we have all our members present. We have one youth in governance. So then we'll move on to the approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. If everyone has received those.
I've made the motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Grady. Seconded by Supervisor Skolitsky. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, comments. I think I covered what I wanted to say this evening about the Nature Center here. And I think our staff is going to fill you on all the other fast and furious things going on, which includes, most of it includes the weather. Dan, Gary's going to tell us how the weather has affected things. And so we'll, any other supervisors' comments? You, the governance, anything? Citizens' comments. If there's any citizens that wish to address the board on any matter, facilities, highways, parks, golf. If not, we'll move on. Parks is first this evening. John?
What's the first thing? A letter on the very my agenda for something. Oh, Katie Master.
Yeah.
I just found out today that the Ozaki Washington Land Trust is going to fund killing off 8 acres of Phragmites at Katy Park around the lake.
Wow.
It'll be 2 years of applications to do that. That's, they are actually hiring the contractor and doing the work. What I think the only part we'll have to do on ours is make sure we're insured. Because we're not hiring them, the Ozaki Land and Water Trust is. I can talk with you about that. They just found out about it today. So, the next thing was the removal of county buildings. And what we did is we had the old house at Fox River and the old superintendent's house at Bedfine Springs slated to come down this year. And the house at Bedfine Springs, that came down as a training burn for the town of Summers, so we're probably only going to have, at the most, a couple thousand spent with by the time we had the asbestos stuff done and things. We're doing the removal of foundation and stuff ourselves along with the highway department. But what I'm asking to do is, instead of taking down the Fox River house, which we're not ready to yet, is tear down what we call the Bugman building at Bedfine Springs, which is the old state lab for the cabbage. Scientists, when they studied the cabbage crop, the building's in pretty rough shape. We're asking to switch those two in the CIP and tear that building down at Pets instead of out at Fox River. And I don't know.
This is a letter that's going to the Finance Committee on Thursday night, and
okay.
We need the approval of this committee before.
So do we have a resolution here?
No, it's just a letter.
Just a letter.
Whenever we do a letter to the Finance Committee, we always get the approval of this committee before it goes there.
Okay. What is the, since we don't have it in front of us, I mean, what's the monetary?
There should be a letter in there. I'll read it to you. It says the original budget for this year was $38,000, and we're going to take down Pets Superintendent House for $15,000 and the Fox River House for
$23,000. Right.
We took down the Pets Superintendent House, and it only cost us $4,000. And the Fox River House isn't ready to come down, so instead of taking that one down, we're going to take down the other, the Bugman building instead.
And there,
so at the end of the day, we'll save money.
That would be during this construction season, that's your intention?
Yeah.
Any questions from the committee?
Yes.
Yes.
Since we save money burning down that one building, could we do this with the Bugman House and save some money there? I mean, $29,000 looks like a lot of money there.
I can't burn that building. It sits right in amongst some other buildings. And the wiring and the plumbing go right through it to another building, Parks Restroom. So all the plumbing electric has to be run around that before we can even tear it down. And that's probably a larger share of this expense of the $29,000 was rerouting, you know, the plumbing and electric for it before we even enter it now. And we'll do that ourselves, hopefully. I think we can knock that one down. It's just a one-story building, so.
The other question I had was, could we instead take the money in the budget there and do some of the ash tree removals instead?
Not the way it sits in the CIP. We'll move money from that requires a lot more.
Yeah, if we're going to move money to do that, we have to take a resolution, because it goes from one appropriation to another appropriation. So it could be done. It would be required to depend.
How much are we spending this year on the ash removal, do you know? In the parks?
Right now we have a quote out. It depends. What we're trying to do is find a logger who will come and take down the logs, and then they keep it, and they give us a price that helps offset the cost of their doing it. That whole, I don't know the exact amount, but it's close to $100,000 if we were to do it all, to take down something like 2,000 some trees. But I don't think it can be done this year, timing wise.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Yes, right.
On the Buckman building, what was that cost that we're kind of ballparking in at?
To tear it down.
For what was it in the next one? Okay, 23?
29.
29.
Sorry, 9 was the Buckman.
Okay. And that's the moving of the electrical and plumbing and everything?
That was the complete removal of building by a contractor.
Okay.
When we get those estimates.
All right.
So hopefully we can get this done and save quite a bit of money by ourselves by not going down.
All right. Wasn't aware that it used to be state building. Did they deed it over to the county?
They gave it to us in 1947.
Yeah. Well, so much for that. Okay. So we can't get money out of that. They're not going to give us anything. All right. And we don't have to have a resolution to reappropriate this money, because essentially it's still demolition. It's just we're going from building A to building B.
Yes.
This year, because we've got the opportunity to do so. And in your opinion, John, this is the best next building we should take care of.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
What we're doing is telling the finance committee that we approve of their recommendations. So we have a motion from this committee.
Sorry.
Supervisor Frederick, seconded by Supervisor Brady, to approve the recommendations of the Parks Superintendent. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Okay. Hey, Jeff.
The next thing I have is a resolution to apply for a grant. The American Transmission Company has what they call a community planning program, and which they offer up $5,000 to each person that submits. And I'm asking to submit and request $5,000 just to help purchase a few trees for Petrified Springs. That doesn't go a long ways. It probably, in the long run, probably might get us 50 trees planted in the ground, depending on what size we buy. And that's just a drop in the bucket, but again, it's a 100% funded grant. And I just wanted to take a shot at it and see if we could get it.
Mr. Rudy has always been very good at looking for and then applying for these grants. If those of you that were on the board last year, I remember in the fall I reported that the total cost of Kenosha County over about a 10-year period here, going to be about $2 million with the Emerald Ash bore, with removal, replacement, cleanup and things. When we can do a lot of these things in-house, just like John was just talking about with the tearing down of the building, a $5,000 grant is worth a lot more than just $5,000. So anybody has any questions for John on this? Back, we have a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Zelinski, second by Supervisor Frederick. Any questions?
Just a question on the status of the Emerald Ash Borer. I know that it's most efficient basically just to take the trees, get them out of there, remove it. In some cases, I know that the trees can be treated. It's costly, and you don't always get 100% satisfaction out of it. Are we treating any trees at all in the county?
Well, when we had the inventory done, I think it was probably around 3% that they said where they considered maybe excellent to good condition. Everything there from there went from fair to poor to dead. So there's very few that we have in the parks. I mean, you look down here on the end of the woods, you see all those dead, those are all ash trees on them. So we are not.
Okay.
We were the first county to do a full inventory between the DNR and a forester. What we learned from the forester and the DNR was some of the cities are doing preventive because they're parkway trees. And actually what Milwaukee's doing is knowing that these trees are going to die. They are fending it off for 5, 7, 10 years while they do their plan as far as replacement. What we looked at in our parks was what's a danger? That's what John's crew has been looking at. If it's a heavily traveled trail and there's an ash there, we would cut it down. If it's out in the woods, we're just gonna let it drop and then work on implementation of replacement. Some of our parks are heavy in ash, some are, so we're, Fox River is one of them that's heavy.
If you look attached to the grant is this page, that's Petrifying Springs Golf Course and Park. All the yellow dots are ash trees, so you can understand what we're looking at right there.
So any other questions? If not, I'll start with you, the governance, on this one. Committee, all in favor?
Aye.
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 So do we have an original here? Well, no, that's just a letter. That's exciting. All right, John.
All right, well, again, with, you know, that's good news with Miyazaki Washington Land Trust stepping forward and hiring a contractor to do that work for us. There's 26 acres out there, and they really did want to fund all the removal, but they couldn't do it. It came down to just going on the lake at Katy. I look through the current list of projects we got going on right now. The status on the Kemper Center parking lot and 66th Street renovation, we're waiting on a permit, and that project will not start until probably mid-September. Brightdale lift station, again, the bids will go out in August for that work. The Kemper pier removal, we hit a small snag there. There was a reinforced front lip on the pier that was a repair somewhere down the road, and the crane that the contractor had was too small to lift the solid concrete chunks once they cut them out, and so they had to step back and get another a heavier crane scheduled out of Madison, which showed up today. So what they're telling us is that they're thinking they're going to be done by Wednesday. Everything will be out of there. I think that's, it won't be Wednesday, but that's their best guess. The re-roof of the Fox River shop, that'll go out this fall as well. The Emerald Ash Borer tree removal, we're going to meet again with, or at least get Don on the conference call and talk with them and see if there's any way we get those loggers to start this late fall. Both of the houses at Pets are burned down, the Thompson House and the old park residence. Archaeologists did come out and map the foundation of the Thompson House because they felt that part of that foundation had been a structure that had built there prior to the 1860 when that house was built. And Gary, the highway division, has a breaker point for their crews there. They're going to come over and just bust up the basement floor for us, and then we'll just knock the walls in and haul away most of the concrete and then just level the rest. There's been Silver Lake Disc Golf Course, no work going on that. We're hoping that the crew that's stationed over the at-risk youth at KD can get over there and do some work on that. The Silver Lake Mountain Bike Trail, they've had some serious volunteer groups over there working on that, as well as we have a youth group assigned to it. So they're moving along pretty good over there. They're hoping that they'll have all 10 miles in by this fall. I haven't heard anything on the Ho-Chunk property. We're still waiting for the draft lease from them to see what they're requesting. And on the Bristol Town Hall, we're still talking with John McCabe about it, but I think he brought it to the Village of Bristol. I think they turned down his idea of relocating it, but he's still working at it. And if he can get at the Western Kenosha County Historical Society or somebody behind it, I think that could happen, but they want to move it now. He's talking about moving it down to Bristol by the Senior Center is the latest thing that I've heard from. Of course, that all requires everybody's approval, but we got to find out, you know, what they want to do here and what their plans are, and they don't even really know themselves, but that's more of an FYI for you supervisors. And that's all I have.
Thank you, John. Any questions for John?
Can you enlighten me why Ozaukee, Washington County want to spend money around the gate?
Well, they had money to for invasive species removal in the Lake Michigan Basin, and it sounds like they didn't have enough spots or people that asked. And we
and you did?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, I didn't. Dan Treelor did from Planning and Development, so he's the one who did the good work there.
It just was peculiar. Yeah. I'd never heard that before. So. Good for us.
So.
Anything else for John? John, we'll move on to golf. Dan?
Doug Schulzke, our new head professional group golf coordinator, is acclimating himself well. He's been on the job less than a month and already working in groups for us. He's learning the ropes there and doing a fine job. Doug and I are teaching about 105 juniors in our junior golf program. It's Wednesday mornings from 8 till 1 at Brightdale, and Wednesday and Thursday evenings from 4:30 to 9 or so, both nights at Petrifying Springs, and I have 105 youth that we're teaching. We're next big initiative we're also doing is with the Recplex. We have about 20 kids coming the first week of August to have a youth camp. We also have our junior golf PGA league that travels to all the different golf courses around, and they're doing quite well. They're playing well. We have 9 youth on that junior league. So really trying to grow the game with our youth. That's also doing a ladies clinic on Monday nights. I think we had 17 ladies signed up for tonight's short game clinic, and it's $30. It's golf, instruction, and a meal, and then you can go and walk 9 holes. So good deal for everybody, and really trying to build the game. We are receiving outstanding reviews on the golf course. I mean, both golf courses, everybody says how great the conditions are, but we're off to a little slower start due to the cold and mostly rainy weather. But we are doing well in controlling our expenses, so I think things are still on the sunny side. Got to get some weather, get some people out. We had over 11 inches of rain alone at Brightdale last month. I mean, that's just rainforest style. So we got to do a little better on the controlling the weather, I guess. This last weekend was okay. It wasn't anything special. And we're definitely ahead on merchandise and season passes for the year. So we're sending out email blasts every week. We have about 12,300 people in our email database, which is great. Our next weekend is next weekend. We have the Kenosha County Open, 11th, 12th, and 13th. It's going to be at Braindale and Pine Springs, and then back to Braindale. So we have about 55 people signed up right now, so we're hoping for about 75. So we'll see if we can fill it up the rest of the week. And then the Ladies Open is July 19th at Braindale, and the Kenosha County Junior Open starts soon. So, and then the last project that we're working on is trying to get the blue course paved with the highway department, and it's just been so wet we can't get any equipment out there. You know, they came out and they graded some, and all that went to wash, you know, because of all the rain in June. So we're hoping that, you know, July brings better things, and we can get the highway department out there to finish the work. So that's what's happening at all.
Thank you, Dan. Any questions for Dan? Thank you very much. Good luck in July.
Thank you.
Facilities. Frank.
Mr. Chairman, good news for the 60th Street Tower. The Sheriff's Department and everybody else has all their permits and permissions from the FCC, and we have scheduled with everyone involved, all the different agencies, and we're going to be transferring the radios over from the old tower to the new tower on the 14th, and we've reserved the 15th just in case there's any hiccups.
Cool.
If not, KCDC, the conversion over digital controls, we've got 12 of the 14 units converted. We've got two more to go. Those two units that turned out are tied into the smoke alarm system. So we just have to make arrangements to get the smoke alarm people there at the same time, the HVAC people, so we can move ahead. Our maintenance department is plugging along as best they can on the retrofit of the VAV units at KCDC also. Any questions on that part? If not, I'll turn it over to Crew O'Neill for the Yule House.
The Yule House.
What's going on with the Yule House?
Well, as you know, we accepted an offer in May for $265, and it was contingent on the owner or the buyer being able to sell his property in San Diego. We have given him one extension on that. He wasn't able to immediately sell it. He did accept an offer early June, and it fell through because the person couldn't get financing. He right now is in negotiation with two different buyers, and he is anticipating having an accepted offer this week. Our agreement with him runs out next week, so we're going to issue another addendum to him to give him some additional time to close on the house. I was thinking when everybody was talking about the weather that we didn't have anything weather related with the Yule House, but we did have one minor thing, and that was water in the basement, which we don't normally see over there. But Rhonda Hadinger went over to the house and found that somebody had disconnected the downspout. She didn't know how that happened, if it was somebody cutting the grass or kids playing around. They also apparently had two incidents of broken windows there. So we want to get the house sold as soon as possible. Then this fellow I've talked to several times, he wants that house. He begged me to extend this time on this. So we are going to extend it. We don't have any other offers on the table, so I don't see a reason not to extend it.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. I go on to KCAB restoration. Project still on schedule, on budget. Got one little change to this. The mortar work on the north side of the building is 98% complete. We actually, the big push is to get the south and the east sides done, because that faces the street, pedestrian parking, and the city wants to get in there and put lighting, underground wiring for street lighting, things like that. So we want to get off the south and east sides first, so that was more important. And we've, having said that, the west side is 90% complete on the mortar work, the parapet walls we still have to get to, but as soon as we could get the scaffolding up, to get the south and east sides done first, we excavated those first, waterproofed those first, and put the drain tile in first. We put back the soil, compacted it, and got the scaffolding up on the south and east sides so we could do all the stonework just like we did at the courthouse. Repair, replace, or if the stone is good, leave it. So that's what we actually, the guys are just starting on that today. Let's report for KCAP. Any questions?
With the scaffolding on the east and south, will that interfere at all with what the city is trying to mention?
No. No. It shouldn't. Actually, I'm trying to arrange a meeting. They had to reschedule a meeting about putting in the electrical for the street lighting, but the electrical for street lighting should be okay because it's only on the east side, and it should, where they explained to me before, the lights are close enough to the curb and the scaffolding is close enough to the building. It should be okay. We have to do some coordination on the sidewalks, but we should have enough time in the fall.
Given that we had the foundation exposed, and you know, you can't predict what the future might bring, but did we have to add any additional access points or, you know, for conduit or anything while we had it all dug up, or just left it as is, waterproof?
No, that's an excellent question. We reached out to IT department, to electrical engineering, things like that, if there's anything that we needed for this building. In fact, for IT, they were good. They have two different redundant paths of fiber optic into the building already. So that was already figured in. It wasn't waterproofed the way it should have been when they did it before, just because they couldn't excavate the whole thing. Now that we excavate the whole thing, we are able to waterproof completely around those penetrations. So, but it's an excellent question. We reached out to IT. They said that they actually have a lot of unused fiber in those two redundant things for any future growth. Electrical engineering, he said that the electrical coming in was fine for anything for the future. So we looked at it heating and cooling wise. As part of this project, we had the heating HVAC engineer look at that because those pipes go underground, the cooling tower. You know, is it sized correctly? Are those pipes going to be sufficient? Things like that. So we did look in those areas. So we are good. And after we get done, it'll all be buttoned up and waterproofed. All the penetrations will be fine. In fact, we found one, it had to be during the Union Club period of time. There's another pipe coming out of the building. It was unmarked and we hit it, and it was probably about 100 phone cables in there, which the contractor called me up. He was really worried at the time, and I called IT and all the phones were working. It had to be from the old Union Club, but they had just cut it off on the inside of the building. It still was coming out on the outside, and it, of course, wasn't waterproof the way it should have been. So, once we figured out what it was and it was no longer used, we cut it off clean with the outside of the building, and then it's so there's no penetration for waterproofing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else, Frank?
All right.
I have a question. Where are we at with the parking lot just to the west of the ramp, downtown campus? Let's talk about issuing permits and having that all taken care of. Where are we at?
That's a good question. Actually, that ended up, I think the last thing was finance-wise, as far as
personnel, joint services, and health sports. We're discussing how to solve that problem. I think they're going to talk about it. I think it's on the agenda for Thursday night.
So it was my understanding that personnel was going to issue permits, the old-fashioned sticker-type things, and enforcement's going to take care of making sure. We talked here about maybe doing signage to alert everybody that that was the thing. But you're saying it's in works, and we're going to see that on the finance agenda for Thursday? Okay.
That's the same thing I heard.
It was what we had approved was voted down by the county board. It was pulled out, sent back to finance. They're looking at a sticker system, if you remember.
Right.
That's for that.
Thanks, Frank.
Gary.
I have
two resolutions tonight, both involving County Trunk Highway H between the state line and Highway S, or Washington Road, or 38th Street, whatever you prefer. The reason there's two resolutions is the way the original ordinances were set up, it just made more sense to rewrite the ordinances as two. Basically, what we're going to accomplish by modifying the ordinances is on that first map, I'm showing you the existing speed limits on Highway H and on Highway C. The orange segments are 45 miles per hour, the green is 40, and the pink is 35. What the ordinances will do, if approved tonight, will change all of the 45 mile per hour zones to 40 mile per hour zones. And that's indicated on the second map where the proposed speed limits are shown. As you can see, there's a little bit more consistency to the speed limits. Just to give you a little bit of historical information on this, last year, almost exactly at this time, we began getting numerous inquiries about traffic issues on all of these segments of Highway H. Had resident calls, had county board supervisors inquiries, city council members, also, there were several businesses that were going to locate or looking for sites to locate their new businesses along that corridor, and we were working together with those businesses on the traffic impact analysis that we require for larger developments. Last year at this time, the traffic on Highway H was significantly influenced by numerous projects that the Wisconsin Department of Transportation was doing in the area. They had a lot of I-94 closed down, and several of the ramps were closed down. There was work on Highway 50. There was just a lot of influences. So what we said at that time was, let's wait a year, we'll revisit it, and we'll make a decision at that time. Well, now is the year. So now what I had done was a little bit more comprehensive and in-depth analysis of those segments of road done by Ron Schild, our traffic engineer. And he looked at several items. First, the crashes occurring out there. What we found, obviously, speed is a factor in crashes. It's not the only factor, but it certainly is to some extent. And if you look north of Highway S to Racine County, he found about 16.8 crashes per mile. And then you look at the southern segment, of which we're considering tonight, from S to the state line, and there's 48.9 crashes per mile, which we would rather see that number closer to 15. That particular number is influenced to some extent by a high number of crashes at intersections at Highway 50 and at Highway 158, but still, the speed of vehicles approaching those intersections certainly has some influence on the crashes. Probably without having to say too much, just because of what you can see out on Highway H, there's been a significant increase in the traffic volumes. The growth For example, on the segment from Highway ML to State Line, 7.6% a year. Highway 50 to 158, 8.4%. That's almost unheard of. And I mean, we typically look at maybe a 1% or 1.5% growth. We're seeing, you know, a tremendous increase in volume, which will influence the speed that vehicles can travel. That's just, I guess, a common sense type statement. The other thing that I had already mentioned is we have numerous businesses that are proposed, and some that are already moving forward. There's Majestic Realty has two sites, one in the vicinity of H and Highway S in Summers, the other down in Pleasant Prairie. I think at this point the Pleasant Prairie site is moving a little bit further along as far as the construction goes. The two lots, Lakeview lots, 117 and 118, they're both in the vicinity of H and ML. Those, in fact, the permits were just issued recently for construction of those buildings. And then Niagara Bottling, they're already under construction. So each of these businesses and any other business that is looking for sites, as I said, is required to do a traffic impact analysis. And we work very closely with them to make sure that the impact that the traffic generated by those sites has the minimal effect on the general traveling public. So, and then the other thing that Ron had looked at was multimodal improvements, and that basically consists of both of that entire segment of Highway H being in the bicycle comprehensive plan for having paved shoulders constructed on both sides of the road that would serve as bike lanes. So, in addition to that, what we need to look at too is the speeds that the existing vehicles are traveling at, and we try to get those existing speed limit established at about an 85 percentile. That 85 percentile is right between 40 and 45 miles per hour currently, and so we think that it would help to, rather than leaving at the 45, existing 45, to reduce it to 40 and watch these different factors, the crashes in particular, and the existing speeds, and see if in fact that reduction in speed will help reduce some crashes, help get some consistency in the speeds, and not have a tremendous impact on the regular traveling public. That, you know, we're trying to keep people moving too, but we need to keep them moving safely. So we're recommending that both of the ordinances be approved to change the speed limit from 45 to 40.
Thanks, Gary. Does anybody have any questions concerning the reasoning? Yes.
You know, we've discussed it more times than I care to count between K and 50. I know this is going to be an improvement, but the neighborhood people, because there is a park one block off of 65th Street there on east of H, and the kids cross the street there, is many of the neighborhood people want it to be 35 to try to make it safer for the kids to cross the street and people trying to get in and out. Do you think the 40 will touch this, or do you think because that is the most populous area of in that whole stretch, along with being the biggest growth, you said 8.4. Is 40 going to be good enough for maybe dropping it down further help right there?
I think that that needs to be looked at on an individual basis, that I don't think the difference between even 35 and 45 is going to have a big influence on the safety of the kids crossing the road, that there's other factors that need to be looked at. If in fact that is happening and there are a significant amount of children crossing that road, then a much more significant method of traffic control has to be put in place. You can't expect that change in speed to safely allow those kids to cross the road. I mean, there's something more significant, like, there's other different types of signals or traffic control items with signing and lighting and pavement marking, and all of those items we would look to the city of Kenosha to be participating in, that because of the both of those intersections being within the city of Kenosha. So if in fact that is occurring, we need to speak to the city of Kenosha to look at something far more significant than a reduction in speed.
Well, I realize that. I mean, because every single time I walk that neighborhood, they're always concerned about trying to get out, trying to have kids crossing, work. I mean, there's been numerous people that want a stoplight on 65th and H.
Right. And with that, actually, that was one of the intersections that we looked at with our accident study, and there actually was very few accidents at that intersection. In fact, there was one in 2010, no accidents in 2011 or 2012, and two accidents in 2013. So three accidents in 4 years, that's really a low amount of accidents. And I'm not saying that is resolving the pedestrian issue, but it's certainly not something that's going to get our attention.
I realize that. But the bike lanes are going in this year?
On that section of road, that Highway H from Highway 50 to Highway S is being resurfaced this year. So when we resurface a road, we always include any bike facilities at the time that we're doing the resurfacing. So the answer to that would be yes.
So both north and southbound
sides. Yeah, it's just far more efficient and cost-effective for us to do it now rather than later. And the other thing to consider is that when you have a 45-mile-per-hour speed limit, you are required to install a 5-foot-wide bike lane on each side. And when you're at 40 miles per hour, you can reduce that to 4 feet. So it actually would save a significant amount of cost by during the resurfacing to reduce the speed limit. Although we have to take a look and see what'll actually fit in there too. We don't reconstruct the road. We take whatever available space is already there and then convert it from a gravel shoulder to a paved shoulder. So the actual widths we've not determined yet.
Any other questions on these two speed limit ordinance, on the speed limits? Yes.
I just want to thank Jerry for the information here about all the statistics and the new buildings and stuff and new businesses that are going in there, because I had been inclined not to support this, but with your discussion there, I think I'm changing my mind.
We in our department work very hard with the local municipalities and with people within the county to not be an obstructionist to these businesses that are coming in and try to make things work, not to make things difficult for them. And I like to think that, you know, we're successful at doing that.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Wait.
I know on a few sections of these roads, it's 45, especially north of 95 up to C. And there's a lot of cars that do a lot more than that. So hopefully this brings it down a little bit without being too... But this growth that you're seeing here, it starts coming straight to my mind that eventually this might have to be a four-lane thoroughfare. Is that somewhere down the road that we're contemplating that, or is that a state project?
No, it would be our project, and it is not something that's in our short-range CIP. I mean, we have a five-year transportation improvement program. Highway S is in there to expand to four lanes. Highway H is not. We also have a year 2035 plan that's actually being updated to 2050 right now. By sewer pack, and that it would be in that plan to expand to four lanes. So,
and based on your experience of your many years, when we do something like this where we come down, and I do agree with you, bring it down to five, we can narrow the bike lanes, but does it tend to work, or is it one of these things where we just go wait and see?
Good question. I think in this particular case, because the current 85th percentile is so close to the 40, that it probably will, it would tend to work more because the volumes force it to work. So what we're doing is we're posting the speed limit at a more reasonable, or realistic, I should say, realistic speed limit as to what people are able to travel on that road. And when that happens, it tends to get safer. Any road, I mean, that's just general traffic engineering, will tell you that roads tend to get safer when they're posted at a more realistic speed limit. In this case, I think that'll work.
Yeah, and I share Supervisor Poole sentiment and applauding you guys for all the work you've been doing this, because now at least we're 40 all the way along, not 35, it's 45, 55, it's just north S, it's 55. So right. Thank you so much for all the work you did.
Any other questions on these two ordinances? If not, we'll take one at a time here. First one is the first one in your packet.
Motion approved.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Grady, seconded by Supervisor Skolitsky. Any questions? You, the governance, you in favor?
Aye.
Board, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Nays? That's approved. The second one.
Motion to approve.
Motion made by Supervisor Skolitsky, seconded by Supervisor Frederick. Any questions? You, the governance?
Aye.
Board?
Aye.
Aye. That's also approved. And Gary, we have your report.
Just quickly, as you had mentioned, the rain is influencing our ability to get some work done. I really feel bad about the Brightondale Cart Path project not getting going. It's just, you know, these rains overnight, and, you know, like Dan said, they had 11 inches of rain out there in a month. We're going to do more damage than good by going in there with large equipment. That, I mean, you wouldn't think so, but those courses are pretty delicate when it comes to the ability to handle large equipment. So I feel bad. We're going to try to get in there as soon as we can. On the other hand, I can't stop paving. I've got to, you know, if we can't get into Brightondale, I got to start another project. So that's what we've been doing. We've gotten three resurfacing projects done already this year. We're working on a number four, Highway F, out in between Silver Lake and Twin Lakes. So Other than that, the Highway C and H intersection construction began last week. As with a lot of projects where you close roads, there was a little bit of adjustment that public had to make with getting around the detour, but it really, after a couple of days, it seems to have quieted down, and most fortunately, the ramps on Highway 50 and I-94 were reopened just a few days ago, so that relieves a lot of the traffic that was over on Highway C, because when people couldn't get on and off on 50, they were all going to Highway C, so things are settling down there, and unfortunately the rains kind of messed up that project a little bit too, just from the standpoint that they stripped all the asphalt off, started grading, and here comes the rain, the worst time when it's all dirt, but we're still going to try very hard to have the project done around Labor Day, maybe a little bit longer now, but other than that, anyone have any questions?
Anyone? No, thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Anything else, Jim? That will ask for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Skliska, sent by Supervisor Grady. All those in favor?
Aye.
To be the governors?
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Gary, again for having us here.